Exodus chapter 6. And if you got a, if you have the notes there, encourage you to have those ready. And if you're new to our Wednesday nights, we're going to cover part of the lesson here together with everybody together. And we're going to break up into our teams, our small groups, and try to dig in a little deeper. And I'm really excited about the lesson tonight, talking about being delivered by an outstretched arm. Now, I want to back up a little bit to the end of chapter 5. In verse 22, Exodus 5:22. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land, concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Father, I pray that you'll bless our time in your word tonight. Help us to rightly divide it. Help us to take it to heart. Father, I pray that your spirit would work and teach us your truth. Help us to be equipped and encouraged by our time here to walk more closely with you. Lord, help us to help others to walk more closely with you. Please bless, I pray, our time tonight in your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. No matter how much time there is between the promise of God being given and the promise being delivered, God always keeps his word. He wants to give each person some things in our lives, and we're going to learn about those things here tonight. He gives a promise to Moses. Moses and Aaron go into Pharaoh, and they say, let my people go. And God had already told them he wasn't going to do it right away. His heart would be hardened, and he rejected them, but they're discouraged. Because not only does he not let them go, but he makes the things worse for the people. And so Moses goes to the Lord. He complains about that, and God says, listen, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to accomplish some work here. He says that he's going to give them redemption. He'll be their redeemer. He says he's going to give them a relationship. He's going to make them his people, the people of God. He says he's going to have a remembrance. He's going to remember and carry out his promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Now, it seemed to be a failure was part of God's plan for deliverance. Sometimes We actually move forward in faith, and it's not met the way we think it ought to be met. So many times we don't do the things that God calls us to do, and when we actually do step out on faith and do the things we're supposed to do, it doesn't go the way we expect it to go, and we can be discouraged by that. But God reminded them of who he was. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God reminded them that he was the all-sufficient, all-powerful, pre-existent God. He was Jehovah God, the I am that I am, and that he would do what he said he would do. The problem is he was going to do it in his time, not Moses' time. He was going to do it his time and his way, not the way of the people of Israel. So the first thing he gives them is redemption. Israel was discouraged. Everything got worse when Moses and Aaron showed up instead of getting better. But God says in chapter 6, verse 6, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm with great judgment." God says, "I will bring you out. I will rid you of their bondage." God was going to make a way to bring them out. He said he was going to reach, he was going to use his outstretched arm. You know what? God's word describes the reach of God. It says that he measures the heavens with the span of his hand. The universe is measured right here. But did you get what he said to Moses? "I'm going to deliver my people with an outstretched arm." If he can measure the entire universe with this much, imagine what he can accomplish with his arm. And he says, "My all-powerful arm, I'm going to reach out and I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to save you." This idea of a redeemer, most of you are familiar with the story of Ruth, and you remember how she had a kinsman redeemer, one who could ransom her and one who could buy her back, one who could take her in. And that's what Jesus is for us. He's our redeemer. They were slaves in Egypt. We're slaves to sin. They were powerless to stand against Pharaoh. We're powerless to stand on our own against Satan, against sin, against death. But Jesus came to be our Redeemer. He came to set us free. He came to give himself, his life, a ransom for us. Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Jeremiah 32:21 says, "And hast brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great terror." So Jeremiah gets that picture. He sees the power of God to create the universe, and that same power is the power he used to deliver Israel from Egypt, and that same power is the power that he used to save you from your sin. Amen. The same power that can work in your life to help you overcome temptation today. Not only does he give them redemption, number two, he gives them a relationship. There was a deeper purpose for his plan of redemption, and that was to have a relationship with them. He says in verse 7, "I will take you to me for a people, and will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." Listen, God doesn't redeem us to a religion. He redeems us to a relationship with himself. That's the beauty of this. It's not about religion. It's not about a list of do's and don'ts. It's not about rites and ceremonies and sacraments. This is about a relationship with God. He's not just a God. He is the God. But friends, he is your God if you trust in him. He makes a relationship. He makes us his people. And we're not his people because we deserve it. We're not his people because of any good that's in us. But he makes us his people, not because we deserve it, but because he loves us. Amen. It's based on his love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he makes us his. He gives us life based on his great love. Aren't you glad that God's love isn't dependent on how much you deserve it? Amen. Aren't you glad that he loves you? Based on his character. He says, "I'll be to you a God." It was for a redemption. It was for a relationship. And in your group in a little bit, I hope you get to talk about the fact that we need to grow in that relationship day by day. Listen, Jesus is not some fire escape. You get out of a burning building and you go on your way. No, he is your Savior, and he has made you his friend, and he is your King, and he is your Messiah, and he is your Master, and he is your Teacher. And we ought to be the kind of people who serve our King. Amen. We ought to be the kind of people who learn from our Teacher. We ought to be the kind of people who obey our Master. We ought to be the kind of people who follow our Lord. And so we want to develop that relationship. Then lastly, there's a remembrance. He promised to remember them. He says in verse 8, I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for a heritage. Moses and Aaron may have thought that maybe God forgot his promise. They may have thought he wasn't going to fulfill his promise. Maybe the people of Israel forgot God's promise, but God didn't forget his promise. Amen. You and I may forget the promises of God, but he doesn't forget. He remembers. Listen, the Word of God asks a question. Can a mother forget her nursing child? And he says, they may forget, but I'll never forget. Listen, you might think it's unheard of that a mother would forget her nursing child, but even if that's possible, God will never forget his people, and he'll never forget his promises. God has a promise for believers today. Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He promised them a land, and he's promised us a place too, a place in his kingdom forever and ever. I pray that tonight, as we dig a little deeper, that we'll understand these promises of God, and that even though things don't always seem to be going the way we think they should, we'll remember that God's in control. Had that conversation a lot this week already. It's been a long 3 days of this week. Anybody else feel that way? We don't know. A lot of times we don't know what God's doing. But he does. God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And even when we don't, we can still trust in him. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for a little time in your word. I thank you for the truths that you reveal to us, and I pray that you'll bless as we dig a little deeper, as we discuss these truths and how they impact and apply to our lives. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to grow in faith and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we would know you better, that we would love you more, we would serve you more faithfully. Thank you so much for this time, and we just pray that you'll bless our time together now. In Jesus' name, amen.